of all things. Angels and saints cry out, we join them as we sing, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Name all my days, so let my whole life be a blazing offering, a life that shouts and sings the greatness of our King. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God. For you and for your glory, take my life and let it be yours. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. We sing glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. God, you gave me breath so I could praise your great and matchless name all my days, so let my whole life be a blazing offering, a life that shouts and sings the greatness of our King. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Take my life and let it be, take my life and let it be, all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. Take my life and let it be, all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. We sing glory to God, glory to God. Glory to his name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. All glory, glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we give you praise and thanks, Father. You know, heaven is a noisy place. Heaven is a loud and noisy place filled with the praises of God. All the creatures, the angels, the elders are constantly proclaiming his glory. And when we sing, we join in with that heavenly throng. Oh, and God is not afraid for us to make some noise in his honor. Oh, we give you glory today. Oh, our great and mighty God. Oh, praise your name, praise your name, praise your name. Glory to your name, glory to your name, glory to your name. Glory to your name. Oh, Jesus, we bring glory and honor and praise to your name. We put on our garments of praise today. We choose to lift up your name. Oh, to bring glory and honor and praise to you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory, glory to your name, Lord. Draw me close to you. Let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will. Nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. basante she. Oh, Jesus. Father, today we say that in faith that you're all we want, but you know our hearts want a lot of things, Lord. I pray that you would help refine our desires, narrow our focus, that we would have vision for Jesus, that you would be our heart's desire. You would truly be what we want most, above all things, Lord. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, Jesus, help us where our hearts sometimes get led astray. God, help us to believe you and walk and focus our eyes and our vision on you, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without. Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil torn before you, silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no need. Yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. Yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name is, what a powerful name is, the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. What a powerful name is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of. What a powerful name, what a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Oh, praise your name. Oh, wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, glory to you, Lord. Glory to your name. Oh, praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, we give you glory. We give you honor and praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated for just a moment. Thank you, Father.
Name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, our King. So we're down our 5-minute foundation number 3 this morning, and that is on the subject of water baptism, okay? So there's so much that could be said. We had to focus down a little bit. Our goal in all of this is so that if anybody ever asks you, well, what do you believe? Well, why do you believe that? You're going to get so used to hearing this that you're going to say, oh, let me tell you why. You have chapter, you'll have verse, and you'll be a great representative of the faith that we have. So in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, it says this about baptism. Now, this is a picture, so you get the picture of what's being said here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Crazy question. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So we see a picture here of the death going under and the resurrection coming out, something that is promised to us through Jesus Christ. Now, baptism is not a religious thing. It's not something that some do believe that if you don't get baptized, you can't go to heaven. Nobody's saying that. But this is something that God wants us to do, and it gives us grace. Something happens in water baptism. I can't explain it. It's one of those things, something happens. And as we take a step of obedience, a grace comes into our lives that makes us able to do things which maybe before we couldn't, but now there's something living and alive in it because we have been obedient in this. Here in this church, now you might hear some variations on this, but this is about what you're going to hear. The person getting baptized, the last thing they're going to hear is the water is rushing over their heads. They're going to say, based upon your confession of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then that person is baptized into a watery grave under there. And then as they are lifted out And they come out, the first words they're going to hear as they come out, and I raise you to the newness of life in Christ Jesus. This is a testimony of what has taken place through Jesus Christ. And I do believe that at that moment, a special grace comes upon us. I've experienced it myself, baptized in November in the Niagara River. Almost went down the river, but they held on to us. And I do remember one thing, Judy's flip-flops. I remember she went down, her feet went up, and her flip-flops went over the falls someplace. And it was cold, but we got baptized, and it was a wonderful experience. So who is baptism for? Baptism is for believers in Jesus Christ. Those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. You can fill this out on that little form that's in your bulletin. Take notes so that you can go back and remember this. So why should I be baptized? Why should anyone do that? Well, because obedience. There are so many things in the Bible. But one of the things Peter said, repent and be baptized. It's one of the first on our to-do list as we become Christians that we would just follow in obedience to what the Word has to say. We're baptized in faith, believing that not only is it God who wants us to do that, but that this will be an impartation of grace in our lives, and we are baptized so that we can grow spiritually. Somebody asked me once, what's the most important thing God ever said to you? My answer was the last thing. If we're disobedient on the last thing, we're going to have a hard time hearing the next thing. God wants us to be baptized. It's in the Bible. It's throughout there, and there's as I say, in a five-minute teaching, you can't go into it all, but you can read about it all you want. A desire to grow spiritually. So what about kids? This is a big question that we have all the time. Kids, I was baptized as a baby. I don't remember being baptized as a baby. I don't think I was dunked. I think I was sprinkled. And I think some people, this was between my parents and somebody else. It had nothing to do with me. Okay? My baptism has to do with me. So once I became a believer, then I became baptized. Baptism in the New Testament always follows faith and repentance. Don't rush your grandkids or your kids. Mm-hmm. It's not a game. Mm-mm. Don't Mm-mm. rush them. Don't rush them into communion either. It's not a game.
That's right.
It means something, Amen. Then it's time. But children sometimes were baptized, and maybe you were baptized as a child, but you never were since you were a believer. You need to see Pastor Dave before the day is out. We can set that up. We can get you baptized really quick. And so wait until you see evidence of the Christian life in kids before you take them into baptism. Okay, so baptism in water, obedience to Christ. If you have not been baptized, today is your day. Set it up. We'll have a great time. I'm not sure where we'll do it. We got to do it before the snow flies, probably.
No.
No.
We bought a portable heated baptismal
heated.
That can happen right
in my
here.
Day.
No more Niagara River, dude. We are not risking going over the falls. Glory to God. We get a heated. Woo! We have entered the 21st century. Glory to God. If you want to be baptized, you come see me post haste, just as Tom said. Along with baptism today, talking about that and going under, dying to your old life and rising to new life, we're going to be celebrating communion today. And the next song that we're going to sing talks, the first line it says, "It was my cross you bore." Jesus did not bear his cross. He bore our cross. It was ours. He took ours. He didn't take his. He didn't need to take a cross. He was sinless, but he gave everything so that we could find life. Would you stand one more time and let's proclaim his wonderful worthiness. It was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing
of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. And now my shame is gone. I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on and on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Oh, you're worthy, Jesus. Praise your name. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as we glory in this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Oh, Jesus. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Be exalted. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all. Be exalted. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Oh, Jesus, worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Oh, you're worthy, Lord. Oh, worthy God, worthy are you, Lord. Blessing and honor and glory and power. Oh, we lift your name. Oh, we lift your name. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Today we're going to take communion together. The scripture says that Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus endured our cross. And why was he able to despise it? Because he was able to look beyond. He was not looking at the cross. Jesus was not looking at the cross. He was not looking at the suffering. He was looking beyond it. He had the vision for what God was going to do because he was willing to submit himself. And today, when we celebrate communion and the liberty and the freedom that we have, remember it also says, how shall we, we talked about baptism today, how shall we who are freed from sin live any longer therein? And as we come this morning before the Lord and we take communion, it's important that we have an ear to the Spirit. This does not mean that you have to approach it like true confession time, and you have to stop and think, okay, what naughty things did I do all week long that I have to confess? No, but if the Holy Spirit brings something to your heart and mind, just respond to him. Respond to the Spirit of God and say, okay, Lord, I want nothing in between. The scripture teaches us that we ought to examine ourselves before we take communion. That doesn't mean we have to cross-examine ourselves. Do you understand the difference? It's really important to understand the difference. That we just allow our hearts to be open to the Spirit of God. Father, what are you saying? So that we can come and receive that wonderful freedom that was bought for us on the cross as we remember communion. So I would invite you to come this morning. As always, we have the bread and the cup, and we also have, for those who need it, like me, a gluten-free option. And if you would come now and take the elements and then hold them, and we'll take communion together. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you.
pastor that I worked with recounted a story that he was talking with a group of students, and it was time for communion, and the students had had a very energetic worship service, and so he asked them, he said, how many of you are glad that Jesus died for your sins? And they said, yay! And he said, I'm not. He said, I'm not really glad that Jesus had to die for my sins. I'm thankful for it. I'm grateful for it, eternally grateful, but I'm not happy that he had to die for my sins. And when we approach communion, we often talk about celebrating, and really, it's a commemoration of the terrible thing that Jesus had to go through so that our sins could be washed away. So is it a time, a thing to rejoice in? Certainly it is. But is it a time to be reflective and understand the price that was paid for our salvation? And what a price. And I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 again. Paul says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's partake together. Father, we thank you for the wonderful grace that we get to experience through no merit of our own, nothing that we earned and nothing that we deserve. But we're so grateful. Father, we're so thankful today that for all that you have given us, all that we have received so freely. Help us, Father, to be eternally grateful. Make us people a grateful, thankful people, Lord. Thank you for your goodness in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Boy, we have a lot happening this morning. In just a minute, we're going to talk about Operation Christmas Child. Before we get to that point, what I'd like to do, mention a couple of things. We have a video camera that we were using to take pictures, and we're not exactly sure of its location. If somebody borrowed that, if you could let me know where that might have landed, if anybody knows the whereabouts of that. I want to let you know, too, that we had some awesome, wonderful services last week with our brother Phil McNeil, and there were some wonderful prophetic words that came forth in that. And if you're interested in hearing that again, both of those services were recorded and they're now online on our church website. So you can go back, and our friend Dean Perry, God bless you, Dean, where you are, we're listening to this now, probably a few days later, but Dean takes these and he remixes them. And he brings the volume up just so you can hear things better. He plays with them and spends some time. And Dean has just been endlessly faithful and continues to do that even though he moved away. And I'm so glad I don't have to. Thank you, Dean. Glory to God. They're there and you can listen to those again. And you can download them as well on your computer. And if you don't have access to that and you'd like a downloaded copy, come see me and we'll see what we can get you for a flash drive or a recording of some type. You might have noticed that there's a little tiny church out here in the parking lot. Did you notice that when you drove up? a little church. Anybody see that anywhere? It appears here and there around the county. It is the Mobile Christian Literature Chapel. And what they do is they place it in different places, and they collect old Bibles and Christian literature. And then they take this stuff and they transport it to places in the world where pastors have nothing to preach out of. And some of the stories that our brother that dropped it off was telling me, you know, these guys are preaching from something that they caught a glimpse of a scripture and they quick scribbled it down, and that's what they're preaching from. So anything that you may have old Bibles laying around your house, good Christian literature that you maybe don't want anymore, come and put it in there. It'll be here during the month of October, and then it will land someplace else. Maybe it's a chance to clean up some of your bookshelves of things that are sitting there, but a wonderful opportunity. We have a few prayer requests that I want to hit before we jump into Operation Christmas Child. We want to remember Roxanne's dad, Tom, and he appears to be declining very rapidly. And this, you know, we pray for healing, and we believe strongly in this church in healing. But there's also a scripture that says, it is appointed unto man once to die. And I tell people all the time, I'll pray for your healing. I'll pray and I'll pray and I'll pray and I'll pray until you either get healed or you go to be with Jesus. And you know, that's God's business. So we can pray for Tom that God would touch him. But at the same time, if this is his time, I want to pray, God, take him and let it be easy. We know that Tom is a believer. I know he's a believer. He used to attend this church for quite a few years. And so we want to pray. Please, as Judy mentioned and many others, our heart just breaks for the people, especially in North Carolina, from Hurricane Roxanne. Just a terrible, a terrible thing. And if you're like me and you watch it and you think, dear God, what can we do? Did I say something? What did I say? What did I say? Oh, Helene. Well, sometimes Roxanne, she's a hurricane for Jesus, too. Maybe that was a prophetic word. Hurricane Roxanne. Yeah. Oh, or not. Helene, thank you. When I hear the snickering going on, I'm thinking, what did I say now? Hurricane Helene. But certainly that hurricane was nothing that we laugh at. And if you're like me and you look at the devastation and you think, what can I do? What do I do? I'd like to just offer to you next week, we'll take a special offering. And if you feel like you want to contribute, Samaritan's Purse is the ministry with boots on the ground. I don't know what's going on with the federal government. I don't know what's going on with FEMA and the Red Cross. It doesn't look really good. But I know Samaritan's Purse is there. And they're there. They're helping people. And they're laying hands on people and praying for them in Jesus' name. So if it's on your heart and you want to contribute, we'll take that next week in our offering and pray and think on that. I guess also now we're looking at another hurricane. Oh, God help us, off the coast. And so let's pray today that God would have mercy. God would have mercy on our country and spare people that devastation. Father, in Jesus' name, our hearts break when we see the videos, Lord, of the terrible devastation that's come because of Hurricane Helene. And now Milton is looking to be in the wings. And Father, we pray for your mercy. God, for your mercy. And Lord, I pray you are Lord of the wind and the waves. If you would turn back that hurricane, take the punch out of it, Father, in Jesus' name, stranger things have happened. You would dissipate that storm. And Father, that you would have mercy on the people that are in its path. Help the people in the South who have lost everything. Help them, Father. And Lord, we would never wish devastation on anyone, but Father, if you can use this as a vehicle for people to turn their eyes heavenward and to receive ministry from Christians who can help in Jesus' name, and it turns for their salvation, then God, we say, do it. Help them, Lord. We pray for your blessing. God, I pray for the blessing on Samaritan's Purse. We're going to hear about Operation Christmas Child, but Father, we know the wonderful relief effort that they're providing there. Bless them. Encourage them. Strengthen their workers, Father, and use them for your glory. Father, we lift up Roxanne's dad, Tom. Father, I give you thanks first that I know he is a man of faith. I know he has accepted Jesus as his Savior, so whether he's here or whether he's gone, he has eternal life in you. But Father, I pray that you would touch him. God, either raise him up from his bed of suffering, Father, or take him, Lord. Take him, Lord. But bless him. Bless him, Father. And be with his family. Be with Roxanne as she helps her dad and takes care of him. Give her grace and strength as well. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace. And whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. We thank you for that. It's true. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. My mom went through a terrible flood where she lived. And I remember standing on a hill overlooking her house with her. My family was there, and we were looking down at her house. And it was heartbreaking to see my childhood home. And here's my mom now. She's a widow. And she said something that I will never forget. She looked out at the devastation of her house and she said, "Well, it's just a house." And what she was saying was, this is not what matters so much. This is what matters. She had her priorities right. And I'm standing there brokenhearted for her and for her life. And she's saying, "Well, it's just a house." Glory to God. But it is a hard thing when people lose everything. But we want to talk about Operation Christmas Child. Kathy, did you want to run the film first, and then maybe you have something to share? So Adam, go ahead. You can start that.
My name is Emmanuel. And I'm from Uganda. My dad, they are in the ministry, and I did well. Life then dramatically changed when he went to attend a conference in the UK, and he got visa issues, and I wasn't able to come back as we had expected. Mom had to come in to support the ministry and the family financially. We went through a desert, poverty, and scarcity of literally everything. Getting meals was a miracle. On a good day, we had two. On a bad day, we would have porridge, and that was it. It was in the wilderness that my mom met a lady from Operation Christmas Child. We kids were gathered, and we couldn't help but wait expectantly to receive our shoeboxes. The day that I received my shoebox was a very special day. I really felt like God was telling me, "Emmanuel, I love you. I know you. Your name is written in the palm of my hand." I opened it, and the first thing that hit me was the sweet smell. But there was still one thing that I hadn't seen right below the box, and that was the harmonica. The harmonica resonated with me. It was such a special and personal gift, because it was a musical instrument, and I am a musician. I want to share with you a song that my teacher told me. Yesu amele niko ya Batila kundi maha yo. Beloved, you will never know what a shoebox means to people like me in Africa. It's a big gift that comes in a small packet. It's a ray of light in the darkness. It's a sound of sweet melody amidst the noise. It's a river in the desert.
Well, it's here again. Seems like we just got over it, and it's time to start again, but that's a good thing. This week, I was asking the Lord, okay, what do you want me to impart to you? And the word light came to me. And there is so much darkness. There is so much heaviness in this world. Not to say there hasn't always been, but there really is now. The devastation, you see it. I don't have to tell you. And so I said, okay, light. And I thought, okay, now I've got to show a video. And they send us the videos, but we get to choose which one we want. And I had three to choose from because some of them were in Spanish and we couldn't remember, or wherever, man, wherever it was. So I picked this one. I thought, okay, well, let's just try this one. And he talked about the light and the dark. And I thought, this is the one the Lord wanted you to see. And I believe from looking online, he became a minister. He's, I think, a pastor now. And the music was his passion. It was his gift. So just to let you know, the Lord wants to tell you there is a lot of darkness in this world, but there's also a lot of light. And that each one of you have light in you. Okay, you are part of the light. I wrote some of it down just so that I wouldn't kind of forget. Jesus said that we are the light of the world. And if you have Jesus in your heart, you have that light. That light is Jesus. Where there is light, darkness is replaced with the love of God bringing us hope, joy, love, peace. And that's just what Emmanuel received, was that light. Now, this looks like a simple shoebox. You've all seen it. I don't have to show it to you, but I'm going to. It looks like a simple shoebox, but it's more than that. It'll have light in it. Light, your light, is going through this box to somebody that needs God's light. And it's a tool for you. You can't go to Uganda. You can't go to, so many countries our boxes have gone to. You can't go there, but you can go there. Your light can go. So what goes in here is going to translate into light for one of these kids. Millions of kids, I should say. So with that being said, we're doing our part by spreading the light. And the Great Commission said we are to go throughout the world spreading the good news. We're fulfilling the Great Commission. The boxes are due by November 17th, so you have a little more than a month. And the only change this year is you cannot pack soap. It's customs. It's not Samaritan's Purse. It's customs that are putting the brakes on some of this stuff. You can send a washcloth, but no soap. The shipping is still $10 a box. $10 goes. You have to put your $10 with every box. Check, not cash. Okay? Make it out to Samaritan's Purse. But all that information is on your brochure. You've seen them before. They're the same. Or you can do it online, and they will track your boxes going in and out. The church will be doing it online, so basically where the churches go, your boxes probably will go. So if you don't want to track it, you don't have to, because they will probably go right along with the churches. If anybody wants to still donate money, that's fine. We'll take money. We can always use it. We make more boxes and more light. So feel free, if you want to, just make it out to the church, give it to me or to Jeannie, that's fine. Pray for the boxes, that they get there safely. Pray for the kids that are going to be getting these boxes. That's so important. In 3 weeks, on October 27th, we're going to have our packing party here. You're all invited. There's going to be a light lunch right after church. The Bills game doesn't start till 4, so we'll be done, okay? I made that mistake last year. So,
a party.
Yes, yes, a packing party. I wanted to also just share very quickly. Boone, North Carolina, is where one of the, it's where it actually started, the shoebox ministry started in Boone, and they still have a large, large building there, a packing, where they had already started working on the shoeboxes when the hurricane hit. And the first day, Franklin Graham gets on the website and said, the building is okay. The building is safe. And apparently the stuff inside was safe. Don't know what it's going to look like for them, whether they're going to have to shift to another part. Our boxes don't go to Boone. Our boxes are going to Maryland, to Baltimore, where they always have in recent years. But just to show you that God saved that building for them, especially now, that's an important part of that ministry. And pray for that too, because people, they have to have hundreds of people in those packing places. I don't know where they're going to stay, where they're going to eat, how they're going to get there, or do they have to move all of this to other packing places? It could be hard. It could be difficult because we're on a time crunch here, unless they back it up. So just pray for all the logistics of the packing and the sending. Oh, and last year, I have the flattened boxes, and so many of you, I asked if you would take some home and build the box, and you did, and you brought them back, and it was wonderful. Would you do it again this year? Because I don't want to have to build 70 boxes or 100 boxes. So I have them out back on your way out. If you have a desire to just put these together, please let me know and I'll give you plenty. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Operation Christmas Child is a wonderful thing because those boxes go where some people can't go. How many of you like to get a present? Do you enjoy getting presents? Yeah, and you know, these will go to Islamic countries, and they won't allow a missionary to come in, but they'll take the boxes. And the boxes come in with the gospel in them. So it's just another creative way to reach people for Christ. Glory, glory to his name. Can I challenge you with something this morning? I'm not going to preach long because we've had a lot today. But I want to challenge you. In school, there is educational fads come and go through school all the time. And there's another one now, and I think it's a good one. It's called growth mindset, where you teach a student not to say, well, I can't do this. And you teach them to say, well, I can't do it yet. This is what I can do, and I can't do this yet, but. And I want to encourage you today in the church, can we have a growth mindset? Can we believe our church is not full yet? But can we begin to plan and believe and work toward what God has said he is going to do? Did you hear the prophetic words we heard last week for the church and how there is the ingathering that's going to come? I believe it. But let's have a growth mindset. That means we have to think, okay, what would we do if 50 people came in the back door? What would we do if revival hit and 100 people showed up? It'd be great, but guess what? Maybe we're not ready. Maybe we haven't had a growth mindset. So it's time to prepare. It's time to think and time to believe God. Be like that little boy that showed up to the prayer meeting for rain and he was the only one that brought an umbrella. Be that one that shows up with the umbrella. Glory to his name. We are going to go to Joshua 24:15, and I'm going to try to move through this today a little. There we are. Joshua 24:15. But if it is unpleasing in your sight to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to talk today about choices. You know, every single day you make tons and tons of choices. Every day you make choices. You make the choice to get up out of bed in the morning. You make the choice of what you're going to put on. You make the choice of what you're going to eat for breakfast. You make the choice to get up and go out of your house. You make all kinds of choices all day long. Every time you get in your car, you have a choice. Am I going to drive the prescribed speed limit? Pastor Dave. Or are you going to take your chances and go a little faster than that? But with every choice you make, there are consequences that follow. There are consequences to every choice that you make, big or small. You may pay a consequence given what you choose to eat. There is a consequence to what you choose to wear. There is a consequence to how fast you choose to drive. All of these things have consequences. But what we base our choices on is really important, because our day in and day out choices determine who we become and whether we finish well or whether we crash. And I've had some friends who have started out in their Christian walk strong and powerful, but as they went on, they made some choices, little choices, day in and day out, that led them in another direction, and some of them crashed. Thinking of one guy, had a powerful ministry, but he had an area in his life that he gave into. A little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit, and eventually it cost him. Cost him everything. Cost him his ministry, his family. Our day in and day out choices determine who we become. And who you become will be the cumulative result of the daily choices that you make. I cannot advance. You will have to do that for me. If you hear that funny little sound, that's the computer saying, I don't want to listen to the clicker. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. The path of the righteous, in other words, the path of those who are choosing to follow God, who are making godly choices, their path is going to be grow brighter and brighter every day. Is it going to work this time? Oh, yay! Oh, I'm going the wrong way. Oh, maybe it was me. I was pushing the wrong button. It was my fault, Adam. I think I was pushing up instead of down. Proverbs 4:14 through 15. We're also warned in Scripture a lot against making wrong choices. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked, or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and pass on by. So it's important to remember that all of the choices that we make have consequences. And when we make choices, what we are really doing is choosing consequences. We're actually choosing our outcome and our consequences. Remember the two criminals that were crucified on either side of Jesus? One chose Jesus, and the other cursed Jesus. And the consequences, one of them was with him in paradise, the other one was not. So our choices affect the physical realm, and it affects the spiritual realm. And God created everyone with the power to choose between good and evil. To choose a good path begins with choosing Jesus, of course, but we have the capacity to choose. And what we base our choices on is really the crux of the matter. And it's what I want to talk about today. Choices, how we make choices, how we decide what we're going to do and where we're going to go and how we do it. And first and foremost, should we make choices based on our feelings? And there's that saying, and I think Phil McNeil mentioned it at some point last weekend. He talked about, oh, just follow your heart. Follow your heart. Oh, pardon me while I go and get sick. That's just awful. Follow your heart. That's a nice romantic thought. What could be wrong with that? Well, the problem is that the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can really know how bad it is? If you follow your heart, you're going to follow your heart right off the cliff. Yeah. Absolutely not. Not there. And, you know, we haven't, because we're on this earth, we haven't reached our place of rest yet. One day we'll attain it in heaven. But for now, it's important for us to understand that we are in a time of war. We are in a time of war. When we walk in this lifetime, we're on the battlefield, folks. This is not, oh, I'm going to have peace in Jesus all the time. No. Well, I mean, you can have the peace of Christ reigning in your heart, but it doesn't mean that your life circumstances are going to be happy and wonderful. And we're in a time of war. And it's a time to walk by faith, not by sight. It's a time, the scripture talks about 1 Peter 6, 1, 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though for now, for a little while, if you need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Oh, I actually put it, I forgot to remove it from the other. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So isn't it great? We're promised that we're going to go through times of grievous trials. Yay! I'm leaving encouraged today, Pastor Dave. Awesome. But it's just the reality of our life. That's where we're at. And the battle's not against people. It's against the spiritual forces of evil. Ephesians 6:12 tells us our battle is not against people, against flesh and blood. It's against evil principalities. And it's also our own indwelling sin. For I know in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. And the those two forces are going to try to use your emotions against you. They're going to try to get you stirred up and get you headed in a bad direction. So regarding making good choices, it would be good to discover the purpose of our emotions and how they influence us. We're emotional beings. Do you know why you're an emotional being? Because you're created in the image of God, and God is an emotional being. God rejoices. It says he rejoices over us. God gets angry. The scripture says God is angry with the wicked every day. God gets jealous. He's jealous over his people. God is an emotional God, and that's why we're created in his image, and we have these emotions as well. But I want you to think of it in maybe a different way, because we are emotional beings, and I'm just shocked sometimes at how often I make choices based on how I feel. And that's dangerous. God designed your emotions to be gauges, not guides. Not guides. You know what a gauge is? Like in your car, you're driving along and all of a sudden the oil light pops on. Bing! And you see that and you say, uh-oh, I better do something about that. Better stop, better check the oil. Your check engine light comes on. Bing! It's showing you that something's up. Something needs attention. Something needs to get fixed. And your emotions can play that same role. They are not meant to guide you. They're not meant to be your rudder. They are meant to be a gauge, something that you can check. And they're meant to report to you, not to dictate to you. The pattern of your emotions will give you a reading on where your hope is. Rather than be dictated to and tossed around by your emotions, it's important to step back and review your feelings. What are they reporting to you? Are they showing your faith? Are they showing fear? Are they showing trust? Are they showing hopelessness? Now, I want to tell you, I went through possibly the hardest beginning of a school year that I have ever faced in all the years that I've taught, and I've taught for a long time. And it has just been a battle from day one. Oh my goodness. Started out with every piece of technology in my room did not work. And things had gotten broken or done wrong in the summer, and nothing got hooked up right. And then physical challenges, but then explosive behaviors happening in classes. And I don't want to go very far into that, except to say that it has made my teaching extremely difficult, and brought me into conflict with colleagues, the administration, just difficulty. And as I walked through this, I encountered a huge range of emotions. But there were two that really surfaced, that really came to the surface for me. Number one was anger. I felt mad because I was in a very unfair situation. It would put me in an impossible, no-win situation. There was no way to win. And it made me upset. And then the other thing I noticed was an intense sense of dread. You ever have that terrible feeling of dread? Ugh. Yeah, the feeling of anger made me want to defend myself. And, you know, somewhere in there was a little bit of objective kind of defense in there. But I was hearing my own thoughts saying, this is unfair. I shouldn't have to put up with this. This is making me miserable. They're wrong. And of course, so what I do, I draft an email and I plan my reaction and so I'm going to do this and that. And I didn't send the email. But I noticed that some things were fomenting inside of me. But some good things happened. Number one, I started to pray about it. Oh, that's always the start. Pray right there. And I stepped back and I started to, instead of react based on my emotions, I stepped back and looked at them. I saw the anger, saw that I was mad. And in my heart, I thought, ooh, I'm angry, and I'm feeling angry at people. And I realized the first step, that anger was telling me, you need to forgive those people. So I prayed. I said, like, God, I'm going to exercise forgiveness in this and take my own responsibility. If I've reacted wrongly in this, I'm going to take my own responsibility, and I forgive these people in Jesus' name. And I saw the dread light came on my dashboard. And that was an indication to me that I was not believing God to intervene in that thing. And so I'm dreading it. Oh, I'm like, oh, it's coming. I said, God, forgive me for not having enough faith to believe that you can move in that situation and that you can help me and do what only you can do in that. And I began to speak the promises of God. You know how I tell you to do it, and I have to do it. God can work all things together for good. God can make a way in the wilderness. My God can supply all my need. God's arm is not shortened. He will surely come and rescue me. I know that he will. even when I don't see it, he's working. And then lastly, the situation, I mentioned that I prayed, but the situation was brought before the Lord, kind of not at my impetus. I wanted to first say, I am so grateful for a praying wife. Oh, thank God. I go home and, this happened, and she's, we need to pray. Right away, she's like, we got to pray. And she just starts praying for me. And last Sunday, I was here in church, and Brother Ray asked me, how's things going? I said, well, I've had what a start to the year. He goes, I've got to pray for you. And he laid hands on me, and he's praying. Oh, glory to God. It was just so wonderful that how God did that. The next week, most of the situation did not change. Some of it was better, some of it was worse. The situation did not change. But what changed was me. Somehow, I was a different person. And I don't even know how it happened. I mean, I know how it happened, but it wasn't like I went and meditated or pumped myself up or drank the extra cup of coffee, which I probably did, or tried to get myself going. But I stepped back into that situation, and there was grace. I felt like I was walking about 2 feet above the floor. All this crazy stuff is going on. It's just going off like fireworks, and it didn't affect me. I motored through. I actually was able to teach some of my class that I got through some things. And it was the grace of God. And what could have turned into an ugly reaction with wrong choices turned into a victory. When you understand that your feelings are not a guide, they are a gauge. Take those feelings, step back, and look at them, and then bring it before the Lord. When those emotions can be little warning lights, it's time to deal with this. It's time to touch that. React in the right way. And just a word about prayer. I'm going to close up here pretty quick. We get into trouble when we make choices without praying. Remember, Israel was approached by the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites were a neighboring tribe that lived in the Promised Land, and the Israelites were to wipe out and destroy everybody. And the Gibeonites got wind of that, and they were like, we don't want to lose our heads. So they dressed themselves up in old clothes, worn-out sandals, and they brought moldy bread. And they came in and said, hey, make a treaty with us. And they're like, and Israel was like, no, we're not making a treaty with you. And they said, well, we live far, far away. And they say, how do we know you're not just some of the inhabitants of this land? And they said, well, look at our shoes are worn out. We've traveled so far, and our clothes are worn out, and our bread is all old and moldy. And they looked at all this stuff, and they said, oh, okay, we'll make a treaty with you. But the scripture says they did not pray about it. They did not ask God. They didn't inquire the Lord, and it created a huge disaster. And they made a treaty with one of the peoples of the land that God said they were supposed to wipe out. And so it put Israel at odds with God's command. When we don't pray, we can get into a lot of trouble. But in speaking about emotions, if I can get back on track just to finish up here, I'd like to say pleasure is the measure. It sounds terribly trite, sorry. Pleasure is the measure of your treasure. Think about that. Because the emotion of pleasure is a gauge that tells you what you love. Where's your heart at? But because our emotions are wired into our fallen nature as well as the new nature, sin and Satan have access to them and will use them to try and manipulate us to act faithlessly and to move in a direction because we're stirred up. The enemy might try to trap you in a weak area of unbelief, and you could find your emotions surging in the wrong direction. But remember, emotions are not imperatives. They are not your boss. They're gauges. They're reports. They're indicatives. They're not determined. Romans 6:12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. That word desires in the Greek speaks about our longings, our emotional being. Don't let it happen. So really, what we need to do is make choices based on the word. Remember the parable of the two houses that Jesus told? One was built on the sand, one was built on the rock. And James says, he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. When you let the emotional you get in, it gets thrown all over the place. And it's important to understand that both of those houses experienced a storm. The house that was built on the rock, built on the word, did not escape the storm. They both got hit by a storm, but only one of them stood. So in our life, when you choose to make your choices based on the word of God, you're not exempt from the storm, but you're going to stand through it. You're not going to falter. You're not going to topple. Choices made on the word and the spirit are what endure. Base your choices on the word and prayer, and use emotions as a gauge, not a rudder. And we have a lot of opportunity to make choices that will affect our emotions. This week I said to myself, I am going to choose to bring the sacrifice of praise. Instead of being mad and dreading things, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to begin to worship God. And you know, when you do that, then over time, your emotions start to line up with it. You start to feel better. It helps you because your spirit man gets lined up with the spirit of God. Choose to believe God, and in time, your emotions will line up. I've also found that I have the opportunity to choose peace. I can choose to not be a wreck. I can say, no, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to be at peace. I choose that. My wife doesn't always like when I say it, but it's the truth. You know, I love my wife, but sometimes I don't always feel like I love her. But I choose to love her. I choose to do that. And most of the time, I really feel like I love my wife. But then there are times where we have disagreements. And I don't always feel those wonderful, warm emotions. But I've decided. I've decided. And that's the thing that will hold a relationship together. It's that decision that walks, willing to walk through the fire instead of go with the vacillating emotions that people get thrown around with. Remember, David said, why are you downcast, O my soul? Trust in God. Father, we thank you that we can choose to walk with you. Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, I pray that you would help us to base our decisions not on our heart, not on our feelings, but that we would use that heart and that feeling to be able to examine where we're at and choose the safe path, choose the path that's going to help us to walk in the way of godliness, where we don't react, where we don't do stupid things, Lord. I know sometimes in my own heart I have done really dumb things just because I've reacted instead of making the choices that I needed to based on your word. Help us, Father, to walk in a clear path, that path that is the path of the righteous that grows brighter and brighter every day. Thank you for your help with that, Lord. And give us your grace to walk through it, walk it out this week in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here and you need prayer, someone will be here to pray with you. Otherwise, God bless you. have a great week and choose to walk with God. Oh, I always forget to put that back together after. Someone's